Welcome to The Word from Porter Street, the new podcast in which I, Chris Phillips, will be reporting every 2 weeks or so on my teaching, my research, whatever else might occur to me to talk about. This is the last day of my research leave. My very first research leave has been going for 8 glorious months and is now drawing to a close. And people have asked me, have you gotten a lot done? And I keep telling them, I'm not sure. Get back to me a little later on and maybe I'll be able to figure that out. I'm thinking that the next installment, possibly the one after that, might get into a bit of what I was doing over the leave. Right now, I've been reflecting on my return to the classroom. I'm excited that I will be teaching my poetry seminar again this semester, and happen to have a classroom in the history building, which includes a fireplace. It is not a working fireplace, but I have the free fireplace app downloaded onto my iPad. We are ready to study the fireside poets in style. I also have the excellent news that my book is now officially under contract. The Course of Epic in American Culture, Settlement to Reconstruction, will be published in early 2012 by the Johns Hopkins University Press, and I'm currently working on delivering that manuscript in, a little over a month from now. A couple of weeks before that, I will be giving a talk at Lehigh University, kind of the premiere of some of the work that I was doing over my research leave, and again, I'll talk about that more next time. What I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about today is a talk that I'm giving this week that's been on my mind off and on for several months, and John Kolach, the Dean of Religious Life at Lafayette, has worked with me to bring together this discussion on civility, and particularly in using civil language at the college as well in more general terms. And the idea for this came from a book that I read last year that had a tremendous impact on me by Marilyn Chandler McIntyre, former mentor of mine at Westmont College. The book is called Caring for Words in a Culture of Lies. And this book, which was based on the Stone Lectures that Marilyn gave at Princeton Seminary a few years ago, is a meditation on the dangers that language faces today in a world of sound bites, of downloads, of basically a lack of silence, and how we can work ecologically to reverse that, to get back to some place of reverence for language, a place where language really has power in our lives, but that we also can find not just power, but grace and mercy in that. It's very much a religiously inflected argument, but I think it applies to just about any venue where you would use language today. And I'm teaching that book in my English 110 class, my college writing class this semester, and I'm really curious to see what the freshmen are going to think of it. A number of them will be from religious backgrounds. A lot of them will not be from religious backgrounds, or if they are, they will not be from Christian backgrounds. And I'm curious to see how the religious content is going to affect their response to what McIntyre has to say. And I'm also pleased to say that Marilyn McIntyre is going to be on Lafayette's campus this April. And I'm looking forward to having her meet my students and to have her speak to a larger audience about the conservation of language as a matter of stewardship linked, not just analogous to, but linked to care for the earth, conservation of the earth. Now, as my time is running on, I'm planning to keep these to about 5 minutes or so. I want to finish each podcast with a reading of something that I have been recently engaged in. And I'd like to read from Stephen Crane. It seems appropriate at Lafayette. He is, of course, an illustrious Lafayette alum, ran away screaming after failing freshman comp in one semester, but went on to write some of the greatest works of American literature. And what I'm teaching this week is The Open Boat, his short story based on a real-life experience he had of being on a ship that went down off the coast of Florida. He spent 30 hours in an open boat, 10 feet long, with three other men, wondering if he was going to make it. And the part I'm going to read is at kind of the low ebb of that story. When it occurs to a man that nature does not regard him as important, and that she feels she would not maim the universe by disposing of him, he at first wishes to throw bricks at the temple. and he hates deeply the fact that there are no bricks and no temples. Any visible expression of nature would surely be pelleted with his jeers. The men in the dinghy had not discussed these matters, but each had no doubt reflected upon them in silence and according to his mind. There was seldom any expression upon their faces save the general one of complete weariness. Speech was devoted to the business of the boat. To chime the notes of his emotion, a verse mysteriously entered the correspondent's head. He had even forgotten that he had forgotten the verse, but it suddenly was in his mind. A soldier of the Legion lay dying in Algiers. There was lack of woman's nursing, there was dearth of woman's tears, but a comrade stood beside him, and he took that comrade's hand, and he said, "I never more shall see my own, my native land." In his childhood, the correspondent had been made acquainted with the fact that a soldier of the Legion lay dying in Algiers, but he had never regarded the fact as important. Myriads of his schoolfellows had informed him of the soldier's plight, but the dinning had naturally ended by making him perfectly indifferent. He had never considered it his affair that a soldier of the Legion lay dying in Algiers, nor had it appeared to him as a matter for sorrow. It was less to him than the breaking of a pencil's point. Now, however, it quaintly came to him as a human, living thing. It was no longer merely a picture of a few throes in the breast of a poet, meanwhile drinking tea and warming his feet at the grate. It was an actuality, stern, mournful, and fine. The correspondent plainly saw the soldier. He lay on the sand with his feet out straight and still. While his pale left hand was upon his chest in an attempt to thwart the going of his life, the blood came between his fingers. In the far Algerian distance, a city of low square forms was set against a sky that was faint with the last sunset hues. The correspondent, plying the oars and dreaming of the slow and slower movements of the lips of the soldier, was moved by a profound and perfectly impersonal comprehension. He was sorry for the soldier of the Legion who lay dying in Algiers. Well, thank you for listening to this first installment, and thank you for your comments. If you wish to make them, feel free to post them to my webpage. In the meantime, take care, be well,